Hello and welcome to episode number 5 of the Tea Boom podcast. My name is Pete, I like pictures, and you can find mine, of course, on my blog teaboom.tumblr.com, tvom.tumblr.com. And I am still completely baffled by how the last episode of this podcast took off. In just a couple of days, the bandwidth my host provides per month was completely used up. We got a couple of emails by them saying, well, maybe you want to upgrade. And so I have the slight little suspicion that this was kind of a... Well, you know what I want to say. I hope, of course, that it was because the podcast itself was entertaining and also informative, which is even more important than entertaining, right? So, yeah, what will this episode be about? It is about one of the big pieces of advice that you read everywhere, all around the web, and especially for beginning photographers. And this is something I do not agree with. So that's how the rant will start. As always, the music for this episode is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. The song that is playing in the background is called Surf Shimmy, and it is licensed under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. And of course, you can connect with me on Twitter as well and on YouTube. Twitter, my Twitter handle is Vortex of Our Mind, and my YouTube channel is Tea Boom Photography. The Rant. In this episode's rant, I want to talk about one of these big, huge claims that we read about, that we hear about, that we see all over the web, in blog posts, on websites, in YouTube videos, in podcasts, but not only limited to the web, of course. We see these things, we read these things in photo magazines and books about photography. What am I talking about? Yes, that big one huge claim of always shoot raw. And I don't agree.
Of course I don't agree, or else I wouldn't make a rant, right?
So... why don't I think that this is something that you should always do? I am a raw shooter. I shoot raw like 95% of the time. But I have come back, when I say back, because in the very early beginning I shot JPEG, like just like most people probably, to JPEG shooting. Why? We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, but let's first... very, very briefly talk about what is RAW. What is a RAW file? Where's the difference to a JPEG file? A RAW file is not a photo. A RAW file is the more or less unaltered signal the sensor of your camera creates before, and that is the crucial bit, it is quote-unquote transformed into a photo. That signal has to be interpreted by software. Your camera does that automatically to be able to show it on your camera's display. So there's software running in the background of your camera to, well, make a little JPEG file, actually. That is the preview on your camera's display. But the RAW file holds all of the information that the sensor provides. And there's no alteration done to that. I could go into technical details about that, but I think that would be way too much for this episode, at least for this rant. There's way more going on than just interpreting, because you might say, well, what is there, right? What does a digital photo consist of? It consists of pixels, right? A pixel has a brightness and a pixel has a color. So why is there room for interpretation? Yeah, but that's the final photo. If you shoot JPEG, this is what you get, right? It's not that simple, because especially with the JPEG compression, which is very It's a fascinating thing, and well, it goes a bit beyond just being geeky, because learning a bit about the compression, how the compression works, really helped me to improve on the quality of the final quality of my photos. But let's keep that aside for a moment. So the final photo is an interpretation of the signal the sensor created. And depending on which software you use, the final photo will look differently. So if you open your RAW file in Photoshop, it will look different than when you open it in, say, what's the hot software right now, Affinity Pro. If you open it in Lightroom, it will look different than in Affinity Pro. If you open it in Lightroom, it will probably look very similar or even the same as when you open it in Photoshop, because the RAW engine, Camera Raw, is the same. So it's basically Photoshop and Lightroom are kind of the same software, but just different. It's just a different user interface. No, of course not. There's more to that. But if we're talking about the rendering engine that renders the photos, that it's the same. So if you open your RAW file in different pieces of software, the result will look differently. If you open a JPEG file in different pieces of software, the result will look the exact same. And that is not only because of the compression. Compression is one thing. RAW files are more or less uncompressed. Yes, there is a bit of compression going on, but that compression is lossless. So you can even see that if you look at the RAW files on your drive. They all have the same size, of course. Size in terms of picture resolution. But the file size is slightly differently, depending on how much, depending on what you took a photo of. So there you can see that, because that's the thing, right? If we'd have an uncompressed photo, every photo with the same resolution would have the exact same size, because all you have is pixel, 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 and information for that pixel, brightness and color, very simply speaking. So every photo should have the exact same size if you have the same resolution, but that's not the case with RAW files. So there must be some compression going on, and that compression is lossless, so you don't have any kind of quality loss in that, information loss in that. Let's get back to the initial claim, always shoot RAW. I do not agree, especially not if this is a piece of advice you give a beginning photographer, someone who just tries to get their toes in the water, play around with a camera, because of exactly that. You see a photo on the display of your camera, and you made your camera settings to achieve that, to achieve this exact result. And then you open your photo in Lightroom or in Photoshop or anywhere else, and the photo looks differently. And you'd have to do a lot of tweaking, and you'd have to do a lot of developing to get at least close to what you saw on your camera's display. And that is extremely, or can be extremely, frustrating. Of course, you can make presets, right? But that's beyond what most beginners are at. Yes, it's a great way to learn, but let's face it, the first thing and the most important thing about photography, especially if we're beginning photographers, especially if we're hobbyist photographers, especially if we're, and I don't really like the word amateur photographers, is to have fun. And if you have fun playing around with your photos in post-processing, then go for it, because you can do way more with a RAW file in post-processing than you can do with a JPEG file. But if you have no intentions to play around in post-processing with your photos, then there's no reason to shoot RAW. And over time, you will get to that spot, right? You will get to that point where you say, I want to do more. I want to dig deeper. I want to get more out of that. And then you can always change to Raw. What you definitely should do, and that is my piece of advice that I want to give you in case you are open for that, is no matter if you're just beginning or if you already consider yourself to be a bit of an advanced photographer but never shot Raw, try it out. Play around with Raw. Take the same photo as Raw and as JPEG and then play around with those two files in Lightroom, for example, or in Photoshop, and you will see what you can get out of that. Yeah, I shoot Raw most of the time, but I know what I want in the beginning. I know how I can achieve that in Lightroom. As I said in the beginning, I came back to shooting JPEG a lot, especially on days when I know that I will shoot a lot, like I shot two weddings lately and a bachelorette party. So on each of these days, I came home with about 700, 800 photos, right? And why not shoot the photos exactly the way you want them with camera, in camera, and not having to do anything in post-processing? That saves a lot of time and a lot of work. And I make a couple of tweaks in my camera sometimes. And for these occasions, I put a couple of things in my camera, like contrast settings and also like slight color tints. And these things I would have had to emulate in Lightroom. And I was simply too lazy for that, to be very honest. What I did, though, and I think that might be a good idea, especially when with things like weddings, where sometimes you want to get that slight little, tiny little bit extra out of a photo that is not possible with a JPEG. Then what I did is to, especially when shooting low light, that is, if a JPEG, low light JPEG, rescuing a low light JPEG is almost impossible, but you can do a lot more in RAW. So what I did, especially when it was the actual ceremony, I put my camera to RAW plus JPEG so that I have at least the safety to maybe, if I have to rescue a shot, that I can get back to the RAW file. But I didn't have to. So with all these 700 photos or 600 photos that I made on that one day, I only used two of the RAWs. And that wasn't even because of rescuing a shot, but because I wanted to achieve a certain effect that wasn't possible with JPEG. So what I see a lot is that many people just use software like Lightroom to iron out flaws that happened during shooting. That's a legit way, of course. We all want the exact photos that we had in mind. We all want the best results, so go for it. But isn't that a horrible waste of possibilities? You can do way more with RAW files than you can with JPEG files. And so you can do way more with RAW files and software like Photoshop, Lightroom, Affinity, whatever is out there, than you can do with your camera and their capability of writing JPEG files to your memory card alone. So explore that. Play around with RAW files, play around with your software, and so you will see that maybe, eventually, one day, you will be able to produce photos that you wouldn't have even imagined possible. Always shoot RAW? No, not always. But at least, give it a try. Let's talk a bit about the advantages and disadvantages of both of RAW files and of JPEG files. I will not go into technical details in this episode. So I will just talk about them, right? So maybe if there are questions, if you want to know more about this factor or that factor, so please do not hesitate to message me. If there's anything that is left unclear, if you want me to go deeper on a certain subject or explain something more thoroughly, so please do not hesitate on getting in contact with me. You can do that. I mentioned that either on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com, with the Tumblr Messenger in case you are on Tumblr, or you can use the Ask. So this is even open for people who do not have a Tumblr account, so you can always use the anonymous messages. No problem about that. Or you can get in contact with me on Twitter. My Twitter handle, Vortex of Our Mind, in one word. So it's always a possibility. I'm not using Twitter a lot, to be very honest, but I have the app on my phone, so I get messages and I got notifications and all of that. Okay, the first thing we probably have to mention is file size. RAW files are much bigger than JPEG files. I have a camera with an 18 megapixel sensor. So the Canon EOS 700D, the Rebel T5i. And each and every of my RAW files holds about 20 plus megabyte. So depending on how much the lossless compression kicks in. So around 20, 23 megabytes. While the according JPEG file is only between 3 and 4 megabytes. So, I could save a lot of space on my card and on my drive by shooting JPEG. For me, drives or card space is not really an issue. I have a lot of cards, memory cards. Usually when I go out shooting, I have my 32 gigabyte card in my camera. And it will take a couple of days until I fill 32 megabytes. So gigabytes. So that's not an issue. The issue is rather drive space. I shoot for 7 years now, and shoot intensely for 7 years now, and my Lightroom catalog holds around 60,000 photos, and most of them RAW files. I hit the, or almost hit the 1 terabyte photo size lately. So, it's not about storing these files on a drive. That's not a big deal. Even those small portable drives of 1 or 2 terabytes are not really that expensive anymore. And let's just face it. I mean, buying a drive for like $60 or so every couple of years, that's not a big deal. The deal is more like backing them up, the time that is involved. For me, that is really a huge issue. I made a backup of my files lately, of all my photos, to another external drive, so that I have a backup of a backup. And that took me hours. Not me, the computer. The computer was running for hours and hours and hours. So that's something really to have in mind. Shooting everything in RAW, I don't know if that is really the best idea. And what I sometimes do, I had a couple of, event shootings that I shot RAW with back then. And I know that I won't work with these photos anymore. I don't want to delete them. I want to keep them, but I will surely not work with those photos anymore. So what I did is just simply converted them to JPEG and deleted the RAWs. Saved me a lot of space. The next thing is, and I mentioned that in the rant, JPEG files are just as they are. They don't need processing. What you see is what you get. While with RAW files, well, you have to process them, right? So to really get the best out of them. On the other hand, you can get the best out of them. You can do a lot more with RAW files than you can do with JPEG files. And probably the biggest thing is that you are able to change the white balance with RAW files without any compromise in quality. You cannot really change the white balance with JPEG files because it's kind of baked in. You can change the colors, but this will always lead to more or less visible quality loss. Also, RAW files do hold more dynamic range than JPEG files. What is dynamic range? It's the contrast range. So you can, in some cases, rescue blown out highlights or crushed blacks with RAW files, something that is not possible with JPEG files. So that is, you can sometimes, even because of that, make photos that wouldn't be possible with shooting JPEG alone. Do you have any more ideas, more advantages or disadvantages of JPEG or RAW files? Message me, comment on this podcast episode, and send me your thoughts either on my blog tboom.tumblr.com or on Twitter, or even in case you are registered on Podomatic, of course, also on Podomatic. I hit the 20 minutes already for this episode, and I want to keep my podcast episodes between 20 and 30 minutes. And since the last two ones were around 30 minutes, let's keep this one a bit shorter. No text terms and techniques in this one. Let's make the next one a bit more techy, right? But of course, please tell me if you rather have episodes at around 30 minutes. Then tell me. If you rather have them around 20 minutes, then tell me. Also, if you have any kind of question or suggestions or ideas, or if you want to be with me on that show, so talk about stuff like I do with my friend Fern, qbn-scholar.tumblr.com, on my YouTube channel, Tboom Photography. We have these, as you might know, monthly conversations, live conversations on YouTube. Of course, these conversations on this podcast won't be live. I'm going to record that. I'm going to edit that. So don't worry about that. So many people are not comfortable with talking live. And for me, it's always a big thrill as well. I'm always very excited. I think this one's for today. If you don't know already about that, check out letstalkphotography.tumblr.com. Let's Talk Photography in one word. It's a very cool blog, and it became especially cool since Matt of catharticexperience.tumblr.com started his photo prompts. What that is, check that out. Very, very cool thing. We did something like that in the very beginning of that blog, but Matt put a lot of work into these newly revived photo prompts. This one's for today. Bye-bye. Till next time.